Hey everybody, it's Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community. Thank you so much for tuning into the Outlet Community Podcast. We pray that you are able to experience the power of authentic relationships. If you're ever in the Atlanta area, we'd love to have you out. Just simply visit theoutlet.cc for more information of our service location and times. Well, sit back, relax, and enjoy this life-giving message. Well, so let's go to our two opening text scriptures, which are Psalm 26 and 2, Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Psalm 26 and 2. Psalm 139, 23, and 24. And it says, and this is David writing here, "Put me on trial, Lord, and cross-examine me, test my motives and my heart." Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, it then goes on to say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts." Verse 24, and this I believe is a statement or a prayer of honor. And honor lives higher than standard. It lives higher than just status quo or society. Honor kind of raises the bar. And if I'm developing or passing on things that have been a tremendous blessing in my life, that is the mindset that if status says mediocre, I'm shooting to be far above what society says is okay. Like, I'm not just gonna live average. Anybody else live with that same type of mindset? Like, average is not okay. And so the same thing should be true in our heart as it relates to our walk with God. So listen to verse 24. It says, "Point out anything in me, Lord, that offends you." Not point out in me things that offend others, but Lord, if it offends you, let me know. Let me know. Darn it, I was trying to make it through a sermon without quoting a lyric to a song. Failed again. Well, some of you may know that I went back into coaching baseball after a six-year hiatus this past summer. I had the privilege of coaching the Atlanta Public School All-Stars this past summer, and we had an opportunity to get different young men from different middle schools here in the area and compete with them in different tournaments, and it honestly was one of the most fulfilling things that I was able to do this year. Well, one thing I realized going back into coaching is that the game has changed. Not only had the game changed from when I coached 6 years ago in 2013, but the game has completely changed since I was playing the game back some years ago. Now, as a coach, I live with these because as a player, these were some of the things that have stuck with me. And I think probably as a pastor, these are some other things that still stick with me to this day. There are two things that I love: passion and playing for your team. Meaning, I'm not just going to just do something to do something. And everything I do, it has to benefit the organization, the team as a whole. Meaning, it's not about my stat line, but will and can I do everything in my power to ensure that as a team, we're winning? I don't think it's fun if I hit all of the stats necessary, if I make all state, all American, and my team is the worst in the country. That's not a reflection of leadership. That's a reflection of individualism. And there are some of our members who actually have had an opportunity to see me coaching. And I wish they would have told me before they were coming, because I don't stay calm all the time. And one particular day, there was an individual on my team, a young man on my team, who did not give his best so that we could make the necessary moves possible to put us in the best position to win the game. And so when I had a chance to talk with him in a very lovingly heated manner in the dugout, I said, "Son, why didn't you go for that play? He said, coach, listen, coach. Now, I could have went for it, but you see, you know, my mom out there, she taping the game, and we're going to upload it, and, you know, scouts are going to be looking at me. I said, you 13 years old. And so his mindset was, I am not going to give everything because it doesn't necessarily benefit me. And our team ended up suffering because he wasn't willing to make a risk and lower his fielding percentage so that we could win the game. And I realize in our society, what happens is, I'm trying not to be political this morning, y'all, but it's just been on me. In our society, what I'm noticing is that culture or society creeps in into kingdom, and it lives with kingdom so long that people think society is actually Bible, when in fact, Bible stands alone. And so one of the things that I've noticed in our society, especially, listen, look at this irony here. We are the most digitally connected generation as a whole that has ever seen the earth. At the same time, we're the most individualistic generation that has existed on this earth, meaning I want to get mine, I want to have what I need, but with you, it don't bother me. So it's made its way here in church where my focus is I need to go and get mine. But as it relates to my fellow brother and sister around me, no, that's between you and your God. Because, now let's be fair here, there's a mindset that says, no one else has looked out for me. So if no one else is going to look out for me, then I need to look out for me. But where that mindset leads to is a self-centered existence that does not pay attention to our individual blind spots. See, we need each other to reveal the areas that we all need growth in. There's not one of us in here that when you get honest with yourself, you've got some areas to improve. 1 Samuel 16. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16 and 7. So the first thing that I want you all to begin to do is I want you to assess your value system. Assess your value system. Anybody in here been to a concert you were looking forward to going to? All right, I'm not going to condemn you to hell if you say yes. Have you all been? Oh, no, never. Only the Lord. only the Lord. In fact, being the social media stalker I am, we should have had a life group at Big Crit's concert last night because I saw so many of our church members with different angles. So I actually got a chance to get a 360 experience at the Big Crit concert. Thank you all so much if you're listening today for that wonderful event last night. But who's been to a concert you highly anticipated or an athletic event, a sports game that you highly anticipated? Oh, amen. Glory to your holy name, Jesus. All right, so, you know, indulge me for a moment here. When did the preparation for that concert or game start? Days, months. Even before we bought the ticket, we had to coordinate to make sure that we weren't going to be going by ourselves. All right, so we say months. Okay, so as the event approached, and if you know, we all got the ticket plug, but I'm talking about the time where you actually had to spend money and get the ticket, you know. You spent some money for it, so as the event got closer, when did you begin your actual preparation for the actual event, concert, or game? Well, let me make it easy for you. 3 hours before? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. I would not procrastinate of such things. Oh, no. No, no. We're talking about some hours before. And I know tailgaters. If it's a 7 o'clock kickoff, what time does tailgating start, Don? 11 a.m. Glory to your holy name, Jesus. Because we value what we're about to take part in. It's our value. It's intrinsically in us. No one has to teach you. Show up at 11 a.m., approximately 8 hours, a full work day before kickoff. No one has to do that to you. In fact, I remember, because it was a sight to behold when Beyonce came twice. I have never seen the Beehive travel so far. People parked their cars miles away and traveled to Mercedes-Benz, all in anticipation to stand in line until the doors open so we could get ready. So it's intrinsically in us. So we need to assess our values, because I don't see anything wrong with that. In fact, as lead pastor of the Outlet community, I want to make a formal doctrinal position about events. You better go have some fun in life. You hear me? Your life better not just be reading your Bible and Bible only. You stuck up if you do that. No, you know good and well you mad because ain't nobody ask you out, and you're like, nah, I'm going to just be mean. You know you wanted to go out. Better go have some fun. Better enjoy your life. Listen. Let me be doctrinal here. If the word says it's in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, and your life is not full of joy, you're not spending enough time with God. Y'all better just breathe. People, just pastor. I can't make it to church on next week. All right, next week I'm gonna go to a cookout with my family, okay? I just want to tell you. What are you telling me for? Do you know that's the biggest ministry you could do? Y'all ain't know? Barbecuing is equivalent to Old Testament sacrifice. It's basically an illustrated sermon. Hello, come on now. How y'all tired? Gotta let church folk breathe. Now here's the thing. This is not my message, but it's gonna be my message today. Here's the thing. If I tell you what you can't do, then you're gonna spend hours trying to devise a plan to go sneak and do it. But if I say, go have some fun, just don't kill nobody and hurt yourself. That's okay. I'm going to free y'all up a little bit, too. And can we just have honesty hour here for a moment? I'm going to be extremely honest with you right now, because most pastors would not say what I'm about to say in this moment. If you worked 6.5 days last week and you just can't bring yourself to getting out of the bed, stay asleep. Just make sure you log on online and get your offering, all right? I need that money. let me be real honest with you. Since we're being honest today, let me tell y'all what it's really about. Because I understand you're resting, but people will go to the path of least resistance. But I at least need to give you freedom. And I pray that in your heart, you will just treat the freedom right. And praise to God be the glory. This church has always treated freedom well. Like, you all have immensely blessed me. This has been one of the greatest joys of my life outside of marrying my beautiful wife, who tomorrow we will have been married 9 years. Yes! Outside of that, this has not been the quote-unquote stress that people make. It just hasn't. It's honestly been sweatless. Everything that we've ever needed has literally fallen in our lap to do, watch this, what God said so that we can bless his people. It's really been that simple. So then, you know, scheming, no, nothing. I don't have to twist your arm doing offering. Y'all have been outstanding. But we need to understand that if you're doing things out of compulsion, I got to go, sir. You're not honoring God as much as you're trying to solve something internally within you. And in fact, why am I doing an honesty hour with y'all? Lord have mercy. Thank you. Thank you, Sly. So, all right, if you're volunteering at church, there's a key word in there, volunteer. Meaning you're not getting financially compensated to do the church a solid, as we say, or a favor, and help the church go forward. Why? Oh, why would you do something for free you hate? So in our church, there have been things that I have needed since the inception of our church. But I will not ask if it's not in a person's passion to do it. So I'm willing to go without until passionate people say that I'm willing to take one for the team. So if you all remember when we started the outlet started with just a Casio keyboard sometimes, and Alicia, Tamiko, Cece, and Melissa Collier. Now, that's how it started. And I was unwilling to ask people who I knew in the congregation could sing to sing if their passion didn't lead them to do it. So over the course of a couple months, Tim Brinson showed up and just said, sir, I just want to be a blessing. And so, y'all, it was like Christmas. We had a Casio and a guitar. And we worshiped the Lord. And it was so pure. It was so beautiful. It was so lovely. And it allowed our church to really begin to grow and to develop and to understand and build it right. It's not about what you build. It's about how you build. And I will take the ethical route over the popular route every day of the week. There's an ethos, there's an ethical center that says if this is going to cost the relationship, I will not do it because kingdom is not by hook or by crook. It's about relationship. So I'm willing to delay gratification so that I could build a relationship in order for us to do what God has called us to do. It keeps your heart pure and your motives right. So I'm a constant tweaker of our culture. Because if you don't ever address things directly, it'll drift back to the last point of training. So I've slowed everything this year. I've slowed everything in our ministry down. I stopped everything that was outside of what do I want to see 3 to 5 years. So naturally, I'm a planner, naturally. So naturally, I have my ducks in a row. So when the Lord throws me curveballs and doesn't let me enact my plans, that's when I'm in my place of the biggest trepidation and the biggest fear. But honestly, the greatest blessings of my life have been in the most unplanned divine occurrences. And you're sitting in that one in the outlet community. I don't see life before the outlet, if that makes sense. I don't know how I ever had life before this church because of how refreshing and life-giving this experience has been. But it starts in the health or the heart of the leader. So you lead your life, you lead your household, you lead your relationship. So if you don't take the time to do heart check, you don't take the time to to ask yourself the tough questions of how am I really without justification? Because all of us can justify our stuff. So if we can just have enough humility, we talked about humility last week, if we can have enough humility to say, I'm not perfect. I don't have everything right. I might not have said, or even leading this church, I might not have said or done everything right. But I'm willing to say that I can check my heart enough to know that there are moments and times where we just need to grow and to do better. And I'm the same accountability I have on myself. You all know that accountability is coming right there to your house. So I'll quote 1 Samuel 16 because I already know it's 11 o'clock and that time flew. The biggest thing I wanted you to pull out of 1 Samuel 16 and 7 is that God doesn't look at the outer condition of man. He looks at the heart. So I think that that is so important. So 2020, the Lord has already spoken to me concerning that year. And so December 8th, I will begin to share what the Lord said concerning 2020. I believe there is a message for the house and the community. I just believe that. So God has already told me 2020 will be a particular way, and it's going to be a great year in 2020. Here's the thing, though. God can have all these great intentions for us, but if we're not in alignment, we won't realize those intentions. And so I love that cat and that meme that's going out where it said, you said 2019 was my year, and the cat said, I said, tell your neighbor. So part of that is the necessary intrinsic things that are needed for you to grow. To just share more about my passion, my heart is in the development of leaders. I look at every person and I see a leader. So my focus then is how do I develop the leader? Because when you develop leaders, you create an exponential growth. On the front end, though, you're doing a lot of foundation work. And if you all have ever seen a building being built, the part that takes the longest and the part that no one else sees is the laying of the foundation. We've been laying foundation for 2 solid years. The mission of our church is to empower, equip, develop, and then deploy. And so I literally have gone through a cycle of empowering, equipping, developing, deploying, because now there's a new wave that's coming in that now we all have to empower, equip, develop, deploy. And so on purpose, there have been things that I have just said no to so that we could grow right. It's important to grow the right way. And you don't need to be elevated pulling someone else down. Just grow. You see, when I actually did my grass in the backyard and everything, and talking with people who love to do the yard. In fact, Anna's brother, Matt, is one of my dearest friends in the world, just lives with grass and plants. I don't know. The way that you choke out a weed is you let the grass grow high enough so that the blades cover the weed from getting sunlight. You don't grow an entirely fresh front and backyard by just picking weeds the whole time but not growing the grass. Weeds are going to come in. Things are going to happen. Listen, y'all, we are going to get on each other's nerves. Listen, you are going to say something someone can take offense to. I am going to say something you may take offense to. It's a part of any healthy relationship to own that from the beginning. But here's the deal. Let's just keep growing. And it will take care of all of the weeds that spring up. But there are 4 that we need to talk about, 2 that we're only going to address today, and the next 2 we'll address at our Thanksgiving celebration on next Sunday. So let me give you all 4, because just in case you go out of town, because some pound cakes are better than others, and I would definitely leave a week early too, depending on the level of the pound cake. Let's see. I'm just being honest with you. Can we, there it is. All right, here are the four emotions. Guilt, anger, greed, jealousy. Guilt, anger, greed, jealousy. Guilt, anger, greed, and jealousy. You see, it's not until you're triggered that you actually come in contact with what's going on in your heart. Amen. Thank you. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. We're going to look at the first emotion that we need to guard against, which is guilt. And guilt simply says, I owe you. I owe you. That's what guilt says. Guilt says, I owe you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. I want to show you all something here. Because the majority of our, we'll start at verse 18. The majority of our Christian introduction, you're almost guilted into. Can I give y'all some of the tricks of the trade from us preachers? If you were to die tomorrow, where would you, should the Lord crack the sky, where will you be found? Will you be caught up or will you be left? Well, guilt says, Lord, I owe you something. I got to go. I can't stay down here with the demon and the beast and all that stuff. I'm not doing that. And so guilt is often the first emotion people are given in their walk with God. They feel so guilty. I feel so wrong. When you mess up, you feel so condemned. Not convicted, condemned. Condemnation says there is no hope. Conviction says, I can do better than this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, it says, Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings. Somebody say, God is greater than my feelings. So those moments where you're like, oh my gosh, Lord, I have let you down. I know I've been there where as a pastor, I felt like a pastor should not be feeling like this. Somebody who teaches the Bible every week, I shouldn't, these thoughts shouldn't come through my head. These actions, these words, should, can we do honesty hours some more? Y'all, before pastoring, I never thought of cussing as much. Something about the pastorate came with a add-on addition of cuss words. Like, I don't know where they came from, but they feel good. And you shouldn't be using those things, so no, bad. But when you feel guilty and you can't seem to pull yourself out of it, you have this feeling of, I owe you. It first starts with God, but then let's talk about the relationships in our life where, let's just say, we've let somebody down. Let a family member down. We let a loved one down. We let a friend down. And so if you go around living with this, I owe you, you're going to be living a life that is not based in truth. So you're going to be doing things that do not line up with how you currently believe so that you can repay the debt that you feel like you owe. So it first starts with understanding that God is greater than my heart. So Lord, if there is wrong, help me to get on the path to make things right. And what I love about God is that, yes, we do owe God our life, but he doesn't call us guilty. He says we're declared innocent. So God is saying, even though you owe me, I don't look at you like you owe me. I look at you as a beloved son or daughter. Romans 8 and 1 says, so that now there is no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. So it first starts with you and God. I really want you, no matter how bad you think you've been, no matter how far you think you've gone, the Lord has never held that to your charge. So don't you hold that to your charge. When you've wronged others, because if we're honest, we all have been there. Own up first before God. Lord, help me and give me the wisdom on how to correct that. But don't just go accepting things to try to pay it back. What's done is done. Only thing you can do now is live a life of integrity going forward. Let's go to the next and final emotion that we'll look at today. And I'll give you all some habits and we'll go home. How about that? So with each emotion that you need to guard against, I want to give you a counteracting habit to replace it with. So whenever you're making change in something, whenever you remove something, you need to also add it back to something else better, back to where that behavior was. So if we're dealing with guilt, and the next thing that we're going to be dealing with is anger, which is you owe me. So guilt says, I owe you. Anger says, you owe me. Andy Stanley said, show me an angry person and I'll show you a hurt person. And I guarantee you that that person is hurt because something has been taken. Somebody owes them something, if nothing else, an apology, at least. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26. We'll look at verse 26, 27, and 31. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, 27, and 31. I love what the King James says, although we'll be reading from New Living. The King James says, be angry and sin not, meaning that anger is not a sin. The question is, what are we going to do with that anger when it arises? Anger just happens as a result of two normals clashing. It's natural, it's normal. In fact, in relationships, you should expect to be angry with each other if you're really being honest with each other, because the two of you are just not the same at all, at all. And so the question is, when our normals collide, what will my response be? So it says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold. Foothold comes from a rock climbing term where you're able to get a footing so that you can continue to escalate. Get rid of any footing that will allow you to escalate the argument. Drop your rocks. Drop down to verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Get rid of there is in reference to, anybody ever walk into an unsuspecting spider web before? All right, does anybody just let it just lay right there on you? Like, oh, I love spiders. Halloween's my favorite holiday. There's a sense of urgency, because when you felt the spider web, you knew there was a 6-foot tarantula not too far behind it, ready to drag you in. So there was a level of urgency that you took to get rid of the spider web. So similar to the level of urgency you took to get rid of the spider web, it's saying bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander are a web trap for you to get stuck in, and you need to use the same urgency to get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, so that it doesn't pull you into a life filled with darkness. One thing about anger is when it starts in one area, undealt with, your heart unchecked, you begin to bleed into other areas. That's why nothing anyone has ever done is worth the quality of your life today and your tomorrow. So use some urgency. Be honest. What hurt me about that? What was I expecting? What am I expecting in return? So now let's close with these powerful habits that I want you to begin to replace the feelings of guilt and anger with. Again, as I said, next week I will deal with the other two. You want to be here for next week as well. Powerful habits. The first one is confession. Confession creates room for honest dialogue, because every person needs an outlet, pun intended. You know, whenever the Lord asks you to do something, whenever he calls you to do something, he'll begin to drop different glimpses and visions, and you always wonder, you know, when will those things happen, you know? And I remember just getting different visions of just what was always in my heart. And I always saw that leaders and people who have a large sphere of influence don't have a safe place to land a lot of times. I noticed that in church, most people are not comfortable enough to remove their mask. And I began to notice in my time, I spent, y'all, 20 years, y'all, a part of active ministry. And so I've seen a whole lot. And in that time, I saw people suffering in silence, living in alternate reality because they're afraid of the judgment that's going to come if they were honest with somebody they bleed and sweat for. And I said, one of the glimpses that I had didn't have a name, didn't have a place, didn't have a what. I just had a knowing. Like, if there's one thing I wanted to give my life doing, was to help people create safe places where they could be honest and be completely vulnerable without any fear of retaliation or repercussions. Because everyone needs that. Let's go to James 5:16. For my ego this morning, because you all are quiet. Are y'all getting something out of this? Okay, so whenever a pastor says, are y'all getting something, it means my ego is suffering right now. Can you all please affirm me? So I just feel like this morning I need to be honest and tell y'all the tricks of the trade. So that is the main one. The other one is, are you listening to me? That means, like, literally, are you listening? Are you, please, are you? You listening? Okay, y'all are quiet, and I feel like I'm marching this morning, but I want to make sure we're still on the same boat together. All right, I'll keep going then. As soon as y'all check out, I'll check out. I like football too, I promise. All right, James 5:16, I want you to notice the first three words. Confess your sins. Confess. Let's deal with this word confess. The Greek is homologio. The word homologio means to acknowledge the covenant. What covenant? In the New Testament, the covenant that everyone had knowledge of was the new covenant that was given to us by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you would like more to refer to what exactly does that covenant entail, write down in your notes Hebrews 8:10-12. It is dynamic. It says, I will not pay attention to all of the things that you did knowingly and unknowingly. I will be your God. You will be my people. I mean, it's just a beautiful love letter to all of us in the covenant that we're in, because none of us could be good enough to uphold our end of the agreement with God. And so what he wants us to do is, when we realize that we have blind spots, when we realize that we mess up, he wants us to acknowledge the fact that he has been so gracious in every last one of those mess ups that we did. And so when we're able to acknowledge that, when we're able to talk in a safe space, that means that the person that I'm talking to doesn't have any footing to judge me because their dirt is just as dirty as mine, even if it's different. And so it says, don't suffer in silence. Don't live a life where you're really dealing with life-threatening things and you feel like if I told someone, they would look at me as I'm less spiritual and I'm not called and I'm not anointed and I should know better and I should do better. Well, so what? You didn't and you hadn't. So what you need is to find someone that you can be honest and say, this is what I'm dealing with right now. This is how I'm feeling today. And if you could just listen to me and if you could just allow me to release what I've been holding, I won't be as David in Psalm 32 and 3, where he said, my bones waxed old because I was holding on to what was bothering me. Everyone needs an outlet. If I had a choice between having an amazing Sunday service or having legitimate real times of connection for you all throughout the week, 7 days a week, I would choose having legitimate quality times of connection 7 days a week, because as great of a message as I can deliver, I can only inspire you. But when you're able to talk with someone and be honest with someone, that interaction will transform you. I care about your life transforming. I don't care if you think that I'm this or I'm that. I want to see you go higher in your life. You have been where you are too long, and you cannot go into another year with the same old, same old. Y'all, I have given my life to make sure that every person knows that there is a gift on the inside of them, that God has a call on their life. And I don't care how dark the night gets, there is a greater light that is waiting to come outside of you, and we need each other to be that light. So we have to confess, I would not be where I am today without my life group, without you all, without professional mental health therapy. Yes, I have a therapist, two. Because if you ever worked in church, you need trauma counseling. Shoot, if you ever served in church, you need trauma counseling. So I have all these different outlets in my life that help me to process, help me to heal, help me to grow, help me to be what God has called me to be. Because you see the tricks of the enemy. You see where he wants to trip you up. You see where he wants to trigger you. You see what he wants to say about you. If you could realize that your reputation is God's business and not your business, you would spend less time trying to defend it. Y'all, no one backbites about someone who's behind them. I remember being accused of five families that I personally called and told them to plan at an outlet. My first response: if they know the plan, can they tell me? I like to know the plan. Second, y'all, this is going to be real savage. Them folk ain't had no money. Like if I'm going to start a church, I'm going for the top five tithers. Like, that's just. But instead of getting all worked up, oh, how good. No one talks about someone who is behind them. Now, here's the most important element, the second habit I want to give y'all. Ooh, Lord, I can't upload this, Jesus. Y'all going to have me out here. Second thing. First habit, we talked about confession. Second habit, forgiveness. You're angry. You feel like they owe you. What am I going to do? Forgive. Why? Ephesians 4:32, right after you got rid of all that bitterness. When you get rid of all the bitterness, all the rage, all the wrath, and the slander, you then have to forgive because you don't have anything to hold on to. You have nothing at all. I don't know what relationship in your life you're still angry about. When you think about it, it just triggers you. What are you holding on to? What forgiveness deals with is, what are you willing to let go that you really want to hold on to? That's forgiveness. Yes, you might want to take matters into your own hands, but if you do a study on forgiveness in the Bible, forgiveness is always accompanied by lessons in the greatest levels of faith. Because often we're looking for God to show us something great, wonderful, amazing. Lord, show me your wondrous powers. But he uses the relationships closest to you to show you not only you, but who he can be in your life. So if you make a decision to forgive and you release things that you I want to hold on to that anger. I want to hold on to what happened. I need to hold on to what happened. If not, I won't be angry. I like my anger. Because living with your anger is better than dealing with your fear. But if you notice, when you make a decision to let go of the things that you want to hold on to in other areas of your life, you will take your hands off in control and say, God, I surrender it to you. That's what allows you to have the greatest level of faith. But Satan tricks us into staying upset, in offense, rehearsing what happened. Let me tell you, listen. I can't, and I won't tell you how fast you should let it go. I won't do that. But what I will tell you is, after some point, you have to let it go. Because what if God held that against you? So when we're focused on God, wow, I see myself. I check my own heart. I check my own blind spots. I can't hold anything against anyone. And guess what? It's a free life to live.